I was growing up, my favorite cartoons were those by Warner Brothers, especially the Looney Tunes cartoons, Bugs Bunny and Daffy Duck. As I was growing up, I thought Daffy Duck was a priest because he had that white stripe that went all the way around his neck and was dressed in black all the time. Then I grew up and found out that he acts just like a whole bunch of clergy, greedy and self-centered all the time. Then there's Yosemite Sam, there's Tweety Bird and Sylvester, but my dad's favorite was the Roadrunner and Coyote pair, where the Roadrunner's always going lickety-split and the coyote's trying to catch him to eat him. And what I always wanted to know was, why didn't the coyote, since he had all this money to go out and buy all this neat stuff from Acme, I mean, rockets, sleds, and TV control systems, and weapons to try to kill the Roadrunner, if he had all this money to buy all this stuff from Acme, why didn't he just buy himself some food? Some packaged, freeze-dried, or roasted Roadrunner. It wouldn't have been nearly so much fun. Coyote's an interesting character. In one episode, he calls himself Wile-E Coyote Super Genius. Yes, indeed. One of my favorite episodes with Coyote is also the one that has Sam the Sheepdog in it. And they're punching the clock to serve in the field. Sam the Sheepdog is the one with the hair over his eyes. He has to lift it up to look, to see, to count the sheep. And he goes and punches the clock and goes up to the top of the hill and sits down and lifts his hair and counts the sheep out in the field to keep watch over the sheep, to protect the sheep, to make sure that nothing bad happens to the sheep, to make sure that there are no wolves or coyotes out there to come and grab and capture the sheep and eat the sheep. Meanwhile, Wile E. Coyote has punched the clock and gone up another hill and sat down and looked out over those sheep and counted the sheep and licked his lips. They look yummy and delicious indeed. And so Coyote tries many different methods to steal, to get the sheep. He goes down into the field, and when he thinks the sheepdog can't see anything because of the hair over his eyes, he goes down into the field and gathers up all the sheep and carries them off with him. You see the picture in your bulletins, the cartoon in your bulletins showing and depicting this. He carries them off to eat them. And the next scene shows the sheepdog suddenly carrying them back. And the final scene there in the cartoon is, of course, with Wile E. Coyote with a knot on his head smashed down into the ground. The sheepdog has defeated him. But my favorite scene in the cartoon is when Coyote goes up to a sheep from underneath, picks him up on his back, and then sneaks off with him to a far corner, a far nook and cranny, where he puts him down and starts sharpening up his knives and forks because he's going to eat him. And while he's sharpening up his knife and his fork, the sheep stands up on his hind legs, undoes the zipper, and the sheep dog Sam steps out and wham on Wile E. Coyote's head. In my opinion, that story, the story of Sam the sheepdog and Wile E. Coyote, the story of the sheep in the field eating and munching away, that's the story in many respects of the gospel. We are the sheep. We are in the sheep eating the grass of the field. We are in the sheep. We are the sheep eating the grass in the field. And so many times we go astray. We wander away out of the field, out of the view of the shepherd, out of the view of our brothers and sisters sheep, out of the view, following the grass where it wills, and suddenly we're all alone, and suddenly the wolf is there, and we're alone, and we're dinner. That's the reality of the spiritual life. We separate ourselves from the family of faith. We wander away from the community of faith where we are fed and nourished and protected. And we wander away from the family of faith where we have a shepherd to watch over us, and we wander away, and guess what happens? There's a sheep that is threatened and eaten. We become the sheep that is threatened and eaten by the evil one. Oh, that's awfully simplistic. Sometimes the simple messages are the best. Sometimes the simple messages are the best. The good news is that we are a member of the family of faith, and while we sometimes try to wander away, we have a good shepherd. Not a hireling, not someone who punches the clock, not someone who is simply paid to do the job. We have a good shepherd, the one who calls himself the good shepherd, Jesus Christ our Lord. I am the good shepherd, he says, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and when the evil one carries the sheep away, the good shepherd comes and defeats the evil one and brings the sheep back. And when the sheep wander away, the good shepherd is there to gather them home again, to lead them and guide them home again. Sometimes the sheep don't want to go. Sometimes the sheep are enjoying wandering away. Sometimes the sheep think that the grass they're getting over there is the better grass than in the field or the pasture. Sometimes the sheep think they can get away with being alone. No. That's when we need to be corralled. That's when we need to be nudged and nipped at and driven back into the sheepfold. The good news, the really good news, that we have a good shepherd, Jesus Christ, undergirds the next statement. Just as in the cartoon, when the sheep stands up and unzips the front, and out steps the sheep dog, Sam, who then beats up Coyote, so also we have a calling to embody the Good Shepherd for each other. We have a calling to become the Good Shepherd for each other. We have a calling to shepherd the souls of our neighbors, of our brothers and sisters in Christ. We have a calling to be on the lookout for those sheep who are going astray, for those sheep, those brothers and sisters who are wandering off to other pastures, for those sheep who are going it alone and thinking they can get away in life without having to be a part of the family of faith, and that they can be safe and secure without brothers and sisters surrounding them. Oh, my brothers and sisters, we have a calling to be the embodiment of the good shepherd for each other, to be shepherds in sheep's clothing, watching out for our brothers and our sisters, and indeed being willing to lay down our lives as Christ Jesus laid down his life for us, lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. Lay down our lives for each other. We are called to reach out, to intercept our sisters and brothers when they depart. And when they do leave, to go after them and to nip them and to call them and to corral them, to try to get them to come back into the fold. And it's not an easy job. Most of you know this. It's not an easy job to be a shepherd. It can be frightening. Facing the evil one can be terrifying, but it's the calling that we have to face the evil one and rescue our sisters and brothers from his clutches. Oh, that's awfully simple, Greg. You've just personified the evil. It's what Scripture does in the form of the wolf here. Says, the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. We sometimes wonder why the church seems so snatched up in the wrong things and scattered to the four winds. We sometimes wonder why stupid things go on at general conference and annual conference and charge conference and church conference. Because we have been snatched up by the wolf, by the call of the world, by the temptations of greener pastures. We've been snatched up and scattered. I look at my fellow clergy and I see it all the time. We get enticed into going to other pastures. We get enticed to focusing our attention not on where we are called to serve, in the pasture we are called to serve. We get enticed into other things, into other callings, not the calling of the Good Shepherd. We forget that we too are called to be an embodiment of the Good Shepherd. Not a hireling, not a clock puncher, but an embodiment of the Good Shepherd for the flock that we have received. And sometimes we need to nudge and direct, call and cajole the sheep to come back to the pasture. Not easy. I had a cat. I named him after a Methodist bishop because this cat was so lordly. He reigned over everything that he could see in the apartment when I was in seminary. He ruled the roost, so to speak. And so I named him after a Methodist bishop, Bishop Tiggert. And that was the cat's name. That was his actual name, Bishop Tiggert. Good name for a cat, especially when you consider that the cats, you know, when you call a cat, the cat kind of looks at you like, don't you know we were worshipped in Egypt a couple thousand years ago? And you should be doing the same now? You expect me to come? Ha ha, I'm not some dog. That's what cats do. Well, Tiggert would come when you called him. Here, Tiggert, and he would literally get up from where he was sunning himself in the windowsill, and he would come to you and jump up in your lap and let you pet him and give him proper obeisance. He was an unusual cat. Well, you know, pastoring a church is often described as being equivalent to herding cats because they can be so stubborn, so focused in on what they expect and what they want. Yes, the image of sheep does come to mind. The Good Shepherd is the one that says what needs to be said, even if it's difficult to say it. The Good Shepherd is the one who doesn't run away, who doesn't say things to please the congregation. The Good Shepherd is the one who says things that sometimes the sheep don't want to hear. The Good Shepherd is the one who sometimes has to say, sheep, back in the pen. There's a wolf out here. This grass only looks better. It's actually got pesticide on it. Come back to the field where the good grass is. Sometimes the Good Shepherd has to say things that are not easy to say. And one of those things that the Good Shepherd has to say to all the sheep today is come home. Come back. And sheep, you're called to be an embodiment of the Good Shepherd too. And that means when you see a sheep going astray, when you see a sheep going after grass that has pesticide on it way over there, when you see a sheep not coming to the family of faith and excluding itself from the family of faith, it is the embodiment of the shepherd in you. It must go to them, speak to them, call them, encourage them to come back to this green pasture. We are all called to be embodiments, manifestations, incarnations of the Good Shepherd. We are all called to shepherd each other. So now, as a good shepherd, I, in the name of Christ, call you to unzip the sheep's clothing and step out. Gather in your fellow sheep who are wandering away. In the name of Jesus, smack the devil on the head and then come back into the pasture. And if you know someone that you look next to you, look around at these chairs and don't see him sitting here, they weren't in first service, they're not in second service today. If you know someone who isn't here, who has wandered into another pasture and is munching down on pesticide-laden grass and is not present in the worship life of any community, if you know someone who is not here and should be here, my brothers and sisters, it is now the embodiment of the Good Shepherd in you that calls you to gather them, to call them to come to the pasture. We are all called to be good shepherds, to face down the wolf and gather our fellow sheep home. Let's be about the duty of the good shepherd. Let's be about the calling of the good shepherd. Let's unzip the sheep's clothing and step out and get to work as the shepherd God has called each of us to be. Let us call our sister and brother sheep home. And let us call in the name of Jesus and welcome the wandering sheep back to the pasture. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
In your presence, Lord.
You've been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of Northgate United Methodist Church and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2012 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal. All rights reserved. For more information or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at Northgate United Methodist Church, 3700 West Northgate Drive, Irving, Texas, 75062. This program was produced by Dr. Gregory Neal.